Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bruins Blues. WEEI's coverage of the Stanley Cup Final is brought to you by your New England Toyota dealers and Atlantic Power Cleaning.
You know, I would like to, thank you for taking my advice I gave you last week, even though you made fun of me and tried to, like, put me on the spot. But Mookie Betts at leadoff. I mean, I know it didn't work out. It was 0-4. But still, I mean, you know, I'd like to think you're taking some advice from your buddies over here.
Listen, you got to be ready when you come with those with me, brother.
Seem very sensitive to people are making fun of you these days. I never thought that was part of your personality. Yeah, it's all like recent. You know, if you make fun of you, then you get really flustered. Something new. What's going on?
I do know. I have realized with something with Cora though, when he doesn't want to mock you or embarrass you, or if you had him in a one-on-one situation, in a casual situation, and you brought up some stupid question about the Red Sox, he would probably come at you, right? Because he wouldn't care what anybody was saying. But here, it's, I don't know about that. Right. He does that to me a lot. Or this.
He laughs at you.
Yeah, he's like, you funny clown. You stupid football player. Okay. What's the next one?
See, that's better. Now you're back to your old self again. You're not getting sensitive.
Listen, I got some guac and some chips.
Oh,
are you kidding me right now?
Coffee.
Yeah, we're at West End Johnny's, and Johnny is taking care of us with the grub. It's been unbelievable.
Come on in.
Although coffee and chips don't mix.
Just come back with Damian and Woody.
Not bad.
We'll forget about the coffee.
Guacamole, it's working fine for me.
Well, stop drinking coffee already.
Good with it.
I'm done. Now I want a beer. Do you have any old duels? No duels.
No, none of that.
So this is unbelievable. Yesterday, both of you guys treated this thing like it was Bruins in three.
Oh, this little scrimmage and we got going on across the street tonight?
There we go. You're making my point.
Okay. I'm making an adjustment.
And I've got to say, it is not only a Boston thing. It's like all over the country now. So the Athletic ran this game probabilities. They ran 50,000 simulations, and it's like St. Louis shouldn't even take the ice tonight.
No.
This is embarrassing. Overall, to win the series, it is Bruins 82% and St. Louis 17.7. I mean, they shouldn't even be here. What are they even putting their uniforms, putting their sweaters on?
The stat, it was... basically, I think, like, if you win, the winner of game one wins like 72% or something like that percent of the time anyway. So that's not that far
72%,
off.
72%, correct.
Yeah, so it's not that far off.
Right.
Which I think is a little bit strange because I would agree, game one,
especially in hockey,
of a Stanley Cup, you know, but if it's 2-0, I think it's only happened like five times in like 50 years, you know, for a team to come back. I think it was 46 for 51 if you're up 2-0. But I know you keep talking about one game. But we've seen this team now for four rounds, and I know St. Louis is doing some good things too. We heard the same thing in Carolina. Oh, they were down 2-0 to Washington.
They were,
but not against this Bruins team that is so deep playing four lines. You just won game one. You came back down 2-0. Your goalie wasn't tested. Your first line hadn't showed up, and you still beat them. Like, I don't see it. I don't know how the hell it happens that St. Louis can come out and all of a sudden deal with the Bruins' speed. And they haven't even tested. I mean, Tuukka hasn't even broke their back yet. Wait till they get a couple opportunities, and he turns into Tuukka like we saw the first few rounds.
So Christian,
then the frustration builds even more for them.
So Christian gets pissed off at me because I'm old and I remember history, and I bring up history because I have a memory bank of stuff that I remember in the past. I'm going to take you back. Little trip on the time.
Take me back.
2011. All right, Jack Edwards will be here at 4 o'clock. He can remember it well.
Go ahead. Keep this playing.
So it's 2011.
I've been told by.
The first two, it was Vancouver and Boston.
High-powered
in the Stanley Cup
team.
High-powered. They were the favorite. Vancouver was the favorite. Yeah. They were also the home team. Right? So the first two games are out there. And Tim Thomas stood on his head. Have you ever heard that? It's a hockey term.
Stood
on his head for the first two games. And it was like a 2-1 overtime game and a 1-0. It was really low-scoring game. And we all sat around and said, oh, my God. This is unbelievable. They can't beat Vancouver. Vancouver is that much better than them. Then they switched sites, and they went to the Boston Garden, the TD Garden, and guess what happened? The Bruins won, I think, 8-1 and 4-0. They blew them out, and we're sitting there going, oh, my God, this is a totally different team. All I'm saying is you don't learn anything in game one. Obviously, if St. Louis is loses this game tonight, winning four out of five is a monumental task.
Okay, given. You're right. Okay, fine.
History.
Okay, so let's go back to 1970.
What did I get wrong?
St. Louis Blues are 0-13 right now in final history, okay? But here's what I would tell you to do. And this is why I just don't think how you can't you won't allow yourself to see it from a different point of view. I would say, answer me this: what's different about this team than 2011? Like, just looking at this team right now, just give me the intangibles. Don't give me, you know, the first line, the back end scoring, the goaltending, the fans, the passion,
the
coaching.
Difference.
Give me some intangibles.
I'll give you a tangible.
Go ahead.
This team has a solid power play. That team in 2011 was one of the worst power
check
play
mark.
Teams
okay,
in the league.
Give me another
and they won the Stanley Cup.
I want to fix your history lesson.
Go ahead.
Okay, you're right. They lost game 1-0 in Vancouver, and they lost 2-1 in overtime. Vancouver was the highest scoring team in the NHL. They were the Tampa Bay Lightning of the NHL that year. They were number one in goals against. They were a dominant hockey team. The Bruins went up to Vancouver in game one, lost 1-0.
Correct, because your goaltender stood on the
game
was unbelievable.
They lost game two, 2-1.
Right.
And you walked out of there saying, that is not a better team than you. Tim Thomas was doing what he was doing all postseason.
No, that's not true. I disagree.
I remember talking about it afterwards, saying they're not that much better than you. It was a 1-0 game and 2-1 in overtime. Let's see what happens when you come to Boston, and they proved that they were better at home. They blew them out.
Lou, we have already argued this point about Tuukka Rask.
I just disagree with how you felt about it after the first two games. I think most people felt you're down 2-0, but they're not that good.
No, it was
that much better than you.
Tim Thomas was everything in those games.
It was 1-0, 2-1 in overtime.
Because Tim Thomas was stopping everything in sight.
Which is what you expected out of him at that point.
He was unbelievable.
Yep.
And that's why the argument now is, when people were talking about, you brought it up the other day, you're looking at the Tim Thomas numbers from 2011 versus Rask right now in 2019. They're very similar. Matter of fact, I think Rask might be slightly better.
Maybe, yes.
The difference was, the perception going into that Vancouver series was, oh, my God, how are we going to stop the Sedins? How are we going to stop this high-powered team?
But Glenn, After the first two games, you felt better about beating that team.
Because of your
goaltender. No, because you skated with them. It took 1-0 and 2-1 in overtime in Vancouver. I remember talking about feeling better that they can beat this team.
How much
that
crown?
They didn't lose 4-1, that they didn't lose 5-2, whatever. Like maybe you were afraid of because they're so good. You played with them.
No, you lost Horton, and if I remember correctly, the feeling at the time was Tim Thomas is standing on his head and he is doing everything. Now, kind of changed in Game 3 and Game 4 because they opened things up here at the Garden. They started scoring. Lucic started doing some stuff. They started opening
Luongo
everything up.
Luongo was a freaking puddle. Yeah,
what's that?
In Boston. Luongo was an absolute puddle.
Yes, correct. Then they were chanting, remember?
He was pissed about pumping tires.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Way back in the day.
Pumping tires.
Again, but you can't. I'm not going to allow you to use 2011
history,
as an evaluation for 2019.
Telling you, history's incorrect.
It's not the same. And if this was if things were different as far as the playoff schedule, the way you know all these lower seeds beat the top seeds, if this was a tougher competition. And you weren't playing. You didn't have to go through Carolina or Columbus. Then maybe you could sit there and say, you know, it's they've earned something a little bit more. But based on the way things are going, people are going to look back on this and act like this wasn't a special team. Because I say, give me some intangibles. Because I think the obvious. We know Rask is good. We know the first line is good. We know they're getting scoring from their back end, third and fourth line. We know they're deep. We know they're fast. We know they can play a bunch of different ways. We know they can come from behind, even though they're down. You name it, they can do it. I think the difference between the addition would be those intangibles, like how tough they are, how mentally tough they are, how together
passion.
They are, how much chemistry, how much passion they have. It just you sit there and you add all that up.
Like a parrot.
You go ahead, add it all up. And then that
is St. Louis going to play a better game than they played?
Hard.
They
will make. We got hard. This team got hard.
They will make adjustments. They will change things up. They will try. They'll come out, full of piss and vinegar and, like, you know, trying to, you know, trying to sit there and pay back Krug for that hit on a guy that's not even playing in the game today.
I expect the Bruins to play better than they did in game one.
Certainly better than the first period.
Yeah.
Pass.
Yeah.
The second and third period, they were dominant. I'm not
second
sure you're going
to. Second period, they were.
I'm not, other than your first line, I'm not sure you're going to get a better second or
other
third
than the
period
best line in hockey.
The Bruins.
Is there a chance that they could actually play better? And if they do, what does it look like?
I think they could play better.
Oh, what does it look like if they do?
Yeah. I think the first line could play better.
Forget about it. I told you, this is a glorified scrimmage.
They have not put three periods
together. They should bring Lord Stanley in here tonight. And they should. If they win tonight, they should just give it to him.
The cup is
here. Just give it to him. You know, best of two, whatever. Just after two games, they should just forfeit the rest to. And I know TV would never let it because they need their ratings. But they really should.
Well, they won't have any ratings after tonight. Because after tonight's game, if the Bruins win, when the Bruins win, there will be no interest whatsoever. Because la-di-da, here we go again. They're just going to sweep. It's going to be over. Why should I invest any time? If I'm the Bruins, if I really want to stick it to the Blues, you know what I'm doing? I find that cup. I find the cup, and I touch it. I touch it all over. I touch the top.
No,
I
let's not get crazy.
I put champagne in it, and I drink it. I do it now. Don't wait till after the fourth game. Do it now.
I'd start Halak. And if I was Cassidy, I'd just put four guys out to start the game and look at them and say, that's my team. My team's on the ice. We're going to go with four. We're going to go 5-on-4 for a while.
Maybe
pot them a two-goal lead again.
Give
just
you
to
the
make
power play right out of the
game. Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Hoosiers. My team's on the ice.
Embarrassing.
And you know what? My team's on the ice. There it is.
Why don't
four
you start
defensemen.
Going, quack, quack.
Four
quack.
Defensemen. That's it. My team's on the ice.
And the thing is, if St. Louis plays well tonight, St. Louis wins the game.
Not a chance.
The two of them will flip their entire opinion tomorrow.
Not a chance. I'd say they feel bad for them.
Whole different story tomorrow.
I'd say NBC got to them. They paid them off just for ratings purposes.
They paid
them
off?
This thing is over.
Yeah. We have to have this
I'm
go
nice.
Seven.
I'm going to give them a game in St. Louis. Maybe game three. I don't know. Maybe they might show something to, you know, game four to avoid being swept. They might show me something in one of those games.
I wonder why fans across the country hate Boston.
I'd start Halak.
Stop.
Say the Mighty Ducks.
Who waves the flag tonight?
Huh? Oh, Bill.
Ooh.
Bill's not doing it.
Bill.
Bill's not
why
doing
would,
it.
Bill
why Belichick.
Would Bill not do it?
Bill's not doing it.
Bill has
Didn't
changed.
Didn't I hear that Brady is out of town? Is Brady out of town?
Little Bird
Does Linda
want to
do it? Does
that?
Linda want to do it?
Oh, Linda might want to do it.
So Bill will do it.
Yeah, maybe.
Bill would be a good one.
A little birdie told
save
me
Brady for game
in
five.
The
That's when a couple come to the house.
In the building.
Who might be in the building?
Bill may be in the building.
Ooh. You're making this all up.
I'm not making it up.
He may be in the building. No, he may be in the building. But how is he going to wave the
Give
the
me a better option.
I think it's a good option.
That's a good option.
I think it's a good option.
It's the only option.
That's a good option.
It's not coming back. You're not going to have a game five. So
I think you're crazy.
No, and no.
Yeah, Brady on deck for game
five.
And
you don't want to risk it. So you go to your heavyweight now. You go to the big dog right now. You let him eat. Say, please, let's do this tonight.
Ooh, I
Bill.
Like that.
It's gonna be Bill.
I like Bill. Bill or Tom, right? You gotta have that kind of presence. One of those. I give Bill game two. I give Tom game five.
Or maybe Edelman comes back and says, "I'm standing."
He's
in,
already done
Brady's.
It.
I know he has. He's gonna do it again.
I can't.
Maybe just wear a TB12 helmet.
All right, we get to the phone calls coming up next. Talk about the Bruins and
that's correct.
Everybody's so cocky and confident about this thing. It's almost embarrassing here. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I think that would get Z going for sure. That looks like they got a little bromance going. But obviously, you know, he's huge in Boston sports. He's showing his support to our team. So I don't know who's going to be the fly guy tonight, but it would definitely be, pretty cool to see him waving that flag.
Boy, you can tell you're deep into a series when the questions by the media asking David Krejci, so who do you think? You think Brady will be the flag guy tonight? Like the flag guy. That's
important.
Before the begins.
It's important.
I think Bill's a good choice.
Player.
I think he's an excellent. I actually think he's the only choice.
They got a little bromance going.
Yeah, I like it. I think Bill. I can see Bill doing it.
And knowing Bill, like he wouldn't just go. He's gonna.
He'd have that
uncomfortable
smile.
Yeah,
nothing more important than this.
Uncomfortable.
Bears will be right.
Yeah, I'm not used to. Nobody wants to see Bill smile. Yeah. They just want to see that just face of just he's pissed.
I mean, has he ever even done anything like that? I'm trying to think. Like I'm gonna say no because I can't recall any place. And if he's ever talked to a team before a big game, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's one of those things where he actually comes up and talks to the team, but doesn't do anything publicly.
We shall see. It could be another ex-Bruin player. Who the hell knows? I tried to pick up Steph out of St. Louis.
St. Louis?
Post-Dispatch.
Oh, okay.
It's a posting dispatch.
But the problem is that they really don't get exercise. Now, you tell me, if this were flipped and this were the other way and Robert Thomas took out Torrey Krug and you lose the game, you lose game one, what would everybody in this area be talking about?
Well, they'd have a bullseye in the back of his jersey.
Exactly. So why isn't that a bone of contention for St. Louis going into this game?
What makes you think it isn't?
Well, I think it should be. But they're not. Nobody seems to be talking about
that. Well, why would you talk about it? And that way when you
I'm not saying the players. I'm talking about people around.
But the thing is this. It's like that is always how you play Torrey Krug, right? He's a smaller defenseman, so I think every game he plays, teams are going to be physical with him. They'll dump the puck down there, and they'll try to hit the hell out of him into the boards. They'll try to slow him down. So nothing really changes for how Torrey Krug has to approach this game. You know what I mean? It's not like a big guy like Backes. Well, they do the same thing with Chara. They try to beat him down. He's old, you know. But a guy like Backes is like, all right, they're going to come after me. Right, physically, because he's a big dude, whatever. But for Krug, I just think it's expected. I think every time he takes the ice, he knows the teams are going to be physical with
him. I think the biggest problem, though, that St. Louis has to worry about in this game is the five power play opportunities the other night. They can play 5-on-5 with the Bruins. They can't play 5-on-4. They can't do that. They really can't. That is their problem right now, is that they can't afford it. And I think Craig Berube made a big, huge issue about that, and he's right. Because those power play goals will turn everything around.
I think that was a big turning point in the first game. Just the momentum that they got. Even though they had five, they only got one. But they're still converting at a 34% clip. And then their PK is just as dominant.
Yeah, but you can't give them five again tonight.
No, it'd be ridiculous. And then they're stupid. And then there's stupid penalties where you're sitting there going, what are you doing? So, no, because I looked this up, right? When you think about the PK, when you think about Tuukka Rask, Tuukka Rask has a 0.926 save percentage, shorthanded save percentage.
Right. Look it up.
Wild shorthanded. And you think about why they're so good on that, why they're so good at the PK?
Tuukka.
It's because of him. I know that, you know, you're getting a lot of credit and defensive players are playing great and everything, but his save percentage, shorthanded, is almost as good at 5-on-5, even strength. So when I keep talking about all these different tangibles, intangibles, all the different things that they have to hang their hat on, it's nonstop. So go back to 2011, go back and look at that and say, okay, this is different. And we do this with the Patriots all the time. This one is different. And I don't know why you just won't admit
it. You get it wrong every time.
I get it right.
No, you got it wrong.
That's where you're wrong.
You got it wrong.
No, you're wrong.
No. With the Patriots?
Okay, hold on a second. I was the first person to say they were going to the Super Bowl. I was also the first person to say that the Red Sox were going to win the World Series. No. And I was also the first person to say that three of the city's major sports team would hold a championship at the same time.
Christian, you said last year.
You're the first to say a lot, huh?
Apparently.
There's no proof of it.
After game four. Exactly. There is no proof. After game
we lost
four
all those
last
tapes.
Year, you told us this is different. You argued
no,
with me
I asked
that
you,
it
I
was
said,
different. No, you argued
no,
with me.
I said we do that. We do this every year with the Patriots. Okay, different. But why can't you look
different.
At that? Why can't you, okay, with a look at this team and say, wow, I know, this is what the history tells me, and I know I don't want to get sucked into a one-game type situation where I'm getting all excited.
Thank you.
But why can't you look and say, you know what, I have enough information. Rask isn't going to melt. The team isn't going to suck it up and do something stupid. And if they are behind, they've had every obstacle that they've had this year, they've overcome it. Every single one.
Yeah, the anti-Celtics.
St. Louis has done the same thing. They were the worst team in the league in January the 2nd.
Can you imagine?
The worst record in the league.
I'm glad
Why are
he brought
we taking
this up?
Them so lightly?
Hold on. I'm glad he brought this up because I was thinking about this the other day. When you think about all the attention that the Bruins' third and fourth line are getting, when you think about the guys that are playing, can you imagine if, let me see, Rozier... who else? Marcus Martin. Oh, he was pretty good. Maybe imagine if their reserve players had the same attitude as Nordstrom, Corrali, Chari, Johansson, Coyle. Can you imagine if their reserve, the Celtics reserve, thought like these guys did
Charlie
or
Coyle.
Do?
right now are Charlie Coyle.
Charlie
Can you
Coyle.
Imagine if these guys just had the same attitude? Because that's the biggest difference. These guys are all united. They're all pulling the wagon in the same direction. They all know what's at
stake.
It
is a different sport.
And they're just like, it's just like it's really freaking easy.
It's a different sport, though. I mean, you know, you could talk about how, you know, you got four forward lines. So, like, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, you're 12th, 11th, 12th, 10th, 11th, 12th forwards. You know, I mean, these guys, I mean, Corrali played just as much as Pastrnak.
Yeah, but
so it's like your 10th man's not going to play as much as Kyrie. So
I know, but
the importance
all relative,
of Kyrie,
you know?
The NBA mentality is different. I could take over a game. The NHL, like I've said before, like even your best players, you're on the ice for 45 seconds, and then you got to leave, and everybody else gets a turn.
Okay,
so it's more of a team
part.
Thing.
I know, but still, even if you're getting less minutes, what you're doing is important. Owning your role. These guys are doing it, and it's paying off for them. Like guys who would never get goals, who would never really have an impact on a game, are making impacts.
Do you remember the check marks everybody had before the series began? And they gave the Bruins goaltender.
Yep.
They gave the Bruins first line. Who did they give depth to?
They give depth
and
to the
defense
Blues.
Went to the Blues.
Because they're bigger.
Right.
And I think that's
four
a trap.
Lines deep.
And I would say that's
and
a trap.
And the defense. Why have we forgotten that after one game?
Because they were wrong.
One game.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one game.
It's a
though.
Trap.
No, Chris, you guys have played sports and you're
Glenn,
sitting here writing off like one game.
Because the Bruins have better depth. They were wrong.
Well, for one game they did.
No,
the fourth line was great the other night.
The fourth line has first line
was not
for a month.
Right,
and the third line checks in as well for a month.
And St. Louis has been great.
And the difference
for a
is,
month,
I know. Well, I'm just saying, the third and fourth line for the Bruins have carried this team throughout series. I mean, the first line is underperformed. He said the most inconsistent performer for the Boston Bruins in the postseason has been David Pastrnak.
Right,
like he is. Sometimes he's on the ice, and you're wondering what. Can you imagine if Claude Julien was the head coach still?
Yeah, but you keep
Pastrnak might be in the ninth floor.
Okay, but
in the first round for a couple of games.
When you keep on talking
with the mistakes he's made,
but you keep on talking about the Bruins have done it for the last month. The Blues have done it for the last month, and you're basing everything on one game that you saw 2 nights ago. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Basing it on what the Bruins have done for an entire month. It's not one night.
And what the Blues have done for an entire month.
And it's more like what they've done. How about for the entire season? Okay, they were the second best team in the NHL all year.
Right.
I mean, not all year, but by end of the year, they were.
Right.
Maybe the third. They were tied for 107. Second best team all year. Right. They have shown me absolutely no reason to believe that they're still not the best team, especially when it comes to the St. Louis.
And from January 2nd on, Tampa Bay was the only team that had a better record from that point on. We're forgetting the first couple months because that wasn't that Blues team. This is a totally different Blues team. I just think you guys and a lot of people are doing it, and I see people doing it nationally. They think it's a four-game sweep and it's over.
Five.
Okay.
I'm not as confident as they are. Five.
Wow.
Even though I think they should just give them the cup if they win tonight.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
I think it's just amazing that everybody is just – that's all I'm saying. I picked the Bruins in six. I'm not changing my mind on that because they are the better team. But
what adjustments do the Blues make? Do they just try harder?
Well, they don't turn
play
the puck
smarter,
over like the way they did the other
night. Don't turn it over, play better defense.
Yes, they don't turn it over. And here's the other thing they do.
So you think the Blues –
well, you asked the question. You want an answer?
No. Usually it's always a rhetorical question. I actually
is that what it is?
I actually don't want to hear
you. Do me a favor. When it's a real question, raise your hand.
Okay, I'll do that.
Hold on. Excuse me.
All right, go.
Here's what they can do. When you have a 2-0 lead, you don't sit there and hold the puck and say, we're good now. You don't do that. You can't take the pedal off the metal. You can't do that. The metal,
I would say that the biggest problem that they had was those five penalties. They just kept making it harder on themselves. And I would say, like, right after they got that second goal, who was it? Tarasenko? I don't even know who got the second goal.
Tarasenko
got the second goal. How quickly did the Bruins score? Like a minute and a half later?
Yes, but...
Okay,
but
bam. All right, right back to where we need to be.
But St. Louis won two faceoffs. They had the puck in their zone and did nothing with it.
You know what?
They sat there and became very conservative. We're up 2-0. Lou brought this up the other day, and I think he's right about this. They almost play that way.
Well, they
can't play that way against the Bruins.
Here's what I think the Bruins say to themselves when they're down 2-0. We got them right where we want them. We got them right where either they're panicked.
Here's what I would be concerned if I was a Blues fan. Okay? Berube, after the game, talking about his team and how they played, he thought he played well in the first period.
Yeah, he did.
Do you think they played well in the first period? Or do you think
I think the Bruins are crap.
Okay, so you thought you played well.
Yeah.
When the reality was that the Bruins had nothing.
No, you should have had four goals
okay,
in the first
period. So the reality is that you didn't play well, even though you thought you did. If you think you played well in the first period, you're in serious trouble.
No, but the one area I think he's right is they coughed up a lot of pucks in their offensive end. A lot. And they can't do that. They can't do that, and they can't, you know, spend that much time in the penalty box. This hour being brought to you by FW Web Company. Jack Edwards will join us coming up at 4 o'clock. We're going to get into this Magic Johnson stuff because ESPN brought Magic Johnson on the air yesterday, and it was to allow him to dispute a piece that was actually written by ESPN, basically chronicling how dysfunctional the Los Angeles Lakers are. We'll get to that, Jack Edwards, at 4 o'clock right here on OMF. You can't take the pedal off the metal.
Who the what?
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
This man came in there and had an attitude? Really? Really? He had an attitude. He wasn't pleasant to work for. That smile wasn't always there. He was demanding, and he wouldn't tolerate mistakes. Oh, my God! Let's get the axe. Let's take Magic Johnson to the guillotine. That's an issue? Hell, y'all talking about? Are you kidding me? Magic Johnson, he wasn't smiling all the time. He was mean. He wasn't pleasant. And, I mean, you got some article, some point in the story where they actually talk about the anxiety. I had to quit. I couldn't take it. And that's why you gone.
Unbelievable. That's Stephen A. Smith. He and Michael Wilbon had Magic Johnson on TV yesterday. Special thing they were doing for the finals or whatever. And they are the finals, by the way, in the NBA.
Yep,
unlike
right.
the NHL. Finals and final. Got to get those separated. And they're all responding to this Baxter Holmes piece in which he's done this investigative piece over the last couple of years on the dysfunction of the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, Holmes is a pretty good reporter in this field. He covered the Celtics. He worked here at the Boston Globe, and he's done a pretty good job nationally as well. And he goes into details about Magic and not showing up at work, and Magic apparently with a lot of people, not one or two, but many staffers who were talking to him off the record that work or worked for the Lakers that are no longer there, about how abusive Magic was, literally getting into people's faces, screaming at them. And he also showed that Rob Pelinka is also, and that, by the way, is Kobe Bryant's old agent, who is now running the Los Angeles Lakers, and what a mess he is as well. Basically presenting a picture that Jeannie Buss is out of control, the whole organization is in an awful lot of trouble. So Magic marched over to ESPN Studios to do a sit-down with Stephen A. and Michael Wilbon, and I'm telling you this, I've never seen anything like it more embarrassing. Of two guys working for ESPN after their network had one of their people do what seems to be a pretty good expose on a sports team and the dysfunction of the front office and sit there and allow Magic without any questions coming back at him, hard questions about did you do this?
Obvious follow-ups. I mean, it was just
nothing.
No, soft landing, and it was. It really was kind of pathetic, right?
Pathetic because, is the word.
And this is, you know, Stephen A. just letting his guy on. And as you pointed out, Christian, at the end of it, it was, you know, Magic was like, and I'm going to come back on this fall on your station because you gave me an opportunity. That's what it's all about. It's about building relationships, not actually
doing a
real interview to kind of question him and fight back a little bit and defending an article that was on your website.
Stephen A. embarrasses himself because he sits there and he wants to play the journalist. You know, role
no,
that
wants to be
I'm gonna
everybody.
That's exactly what he wants to be, and he's got an ally in Magic, and he knows he can get information from Magic. And what he did is he allowed Magic to go through this whole thing. Most of it simply made up. Already, we've seen replies out there, and some of it made up. And in the end, the two of them sit there and say, "Well, you good with what Magic just said? You good? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good." Embarrassing.
You said it all. You said it all. The Lakers are done. It's over. They're calling this the crown jewel. I mean, yeah, maybe at some point in time it was. LeBron James is not the answer. And the reason Jeannie Buss keeps everybody around, because there is this weird nothing outside the family, I think, that they've adopted this whole like mentality where if she doesn't feel like she can trust anybody, if she or if she's worried about the legacy, she just keeps all the 80s Lakers around.
Yes.
Like, what's next? Byron Scott?
Well, her
A.C. Green?
Well, how about
who
her
else
best
is
friend?
Coming back?
Linda Rambis.
It's, yeah,
with
Kurt Rambis.
Rambis.
Yeah.
And
his
wife. Linda Rambis is running a part of the Lakers organization.
Those days are over. Over. So there's a good 4 years before that team is relevant again. And I don't care if they have LeBron James. And if they do make the playoffs, it'll be as an 8 seed, and they will get bounced. Because who the hell wants to play for the Lakers?
I agree.
Nobody.
I think the Lakers are in serious trouble.
I don't care
problem.
What Kobe Bryant is doing. I don't care what. I don't care how many people are politicking or recruiting these other players. You can't look at L.A. as a desirable destination.
No.
Period.
Now, they'll trade LeBron away in 2 years when it doesn't work. And
have you heard? Do you see what his son is up to? Did you see the – so his son was on Instagram. Is on Instagram.
Yeah, and he got like a million people in one day.
And he was they took the Instagram post down, but he was basically he's 14 years old and he was losing his mind because some girl I guess was playing him and was smoking all his weed. That was the gist of it. That was the gist of it. And it just it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare, and it's not going to get any better.
No, I mean the Lakers.
Do we have the magic sound, by the way?
Yeah, we have it.
Okay, because I'm not sure.
What, if anything, would you do differently? And is basketball so different that you would approach it differently, Irvin?
Well, I would have hired my own people from the beginning. The one thing I didn't get to do is hire everybody that I wanted, right? Rob and I got put together. I inherited Luke Walton. So I didn't get to hire my own people. And so then you can judge me. Hey. You can judge me by trades I made. You can judge me by I didn't have enough shooters. Yes. Did I do some things wrong? Of course. And I admitted those things. I'm not a guy who's going to run from the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. And also, you can talk bad about me. If I did something wrong, I don't mind that.
He's so full of crap. He just said, you can't judge me. Okay, sorry. We brought you in to fix it. Oh, these aren't my guys. I hate that mentality. It's like coaches that get hired to new programs, and they say, well, you know, we can't fix things until I bring my own guys in. If you can't do that, then you're not a good coach or you're not a GM.
Yeah, but
make it work.
But he's not telling you the truth. So the truth is he had, because he was Magic Johnson, and because Jeannie Buss had so much respect, as you said, for those guys in the 80s, and especially for Magic Johnson, he could have done whatever he wanted to do. The problem was he wasn't showing up to work. He was on the golf course, so he was working with his other businesses, and so other people had to start doing other things because he wasn't showing up for weeks at a time.
But if you believe him, he said that, hey, I'm not going to be there. Hey, you want me. They needed him. Jeannie Buss wanted him. Hey, come to the Lakers. Well, you know, listen, I got all this other stuff. You know me, Jeannie. I just can't do this. But okay, fine. If you're okay with the schedule that I lay out for you and you think it can work, all right, good.
Yeah, but he can't bitch about it now when Rob Pelinka is getting in his way. You allowed Rob Pelinka to be part of it. You could have set your own standards. You could have come in and said, I don't want Rob Pelinka.
He just wanted a label.
That's exactly what it is.
Honestly, he just wanted a label. And maybe you look at Jeannie Buss and saying this wasn't communicated, because I don't know why you would ever hire someone that says, hey, you know, I'm just not always going to be here. I mean, you talk about president of basketball operations. You know, you can just imagine what Danny Ainge is going through on a daily basis. And this guy's like, hey, you know, yeah, he just wanted to be president of the Lakers.
Magic.
You know, just be magic. And
have
everybody kiss his ass. And they're like, Magic, it's time for you to go to work. And he's like,
Be Irvin
Johnson.
Hold
on now.
I want to go to the movies. I want to be able to tweet Westbrook and Kevin Durant and tell him,
and he can't handle, because he's Magic Johnson. Like a lot of these guys, you know, they retire, they're great players. He can't handle the criticism. He can't handle people saying Magic couldn't do it. You know, that Magic failed.
Yeah, right?
This is
the
Magic
reason.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Because he's like, man, I'm Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson don't fail at nothing. I don't get negative criticism towards me. And now he can't handle it. So what's he doing? He's reaching out to his buddies. And he's getting nice little landing spots for him to go out there and trash and try to tell this story. Okay, well, eventually another side of the story is going to come out, right? And I thought Baxter was at Holmes. Is that his
Baxter
name?
Baxter Holmes.
I thought he did a great job.
He did.
Outlined just the dysfunction between everything.
But here's the amazing part about it is because Magic's pitching right now about all this stuff coming out. Magic was the one that decided on the last game of the season to show up at the arena and then gather media together with nobody in the front office, nobody, LeBron, not a single individual knew. He told the media first, I'm out of here. How low is that? What are you doing to the Los Angeles Lakers? You tell me you love the Lakers. You're part of their history. And then you stiff it to the Lakers like that? And then you go on TV yesterday, and you start pissing and moaning and blaming everybody but yourself.
And you said it, and he keeps talking about how, oh, you know, I would never do this to Jeannie Buss, and I love this organization.
He did it to Jeannie Buss.
He's exactly what he's doing. He's exactly what he's doing. He's blaming everybody else, and you know what? Don't judge me on the 2 years that I was here. I didn't have my own coach. How many more excuses? So you give all the reasons why you can't be judged, yet that's the very reason why we should be critical of you. Like that. What else? What else are we gonna? What else are we gonna judge you on? Just I'm magic. Ooh, ninja dust.
That's all he wanted to be. He just wanted to be magic. And he thought everything would work around him, and he didn't have to do anything. And the problem the Lakers have is that Rob Pelinka is still in control and apparently has the support of Jeannie Buss. And who knows if Kobe is playing anything behind the scenes in that. And apparently Kurt Rambis's wife, Linda, is a part of all of that because she is friends with Pelinka. You're right. They have a mess on their hands. If you're an agent, okay, why would you go there? The only agent that's going to try to get any players there will be Rich Paul. And I'm not even sure Rich Paul feels good about this right now because they're throwing him under the bus after they put him on the team plane. That was part of the deal. Where Rich Paul got the opportunity to do whatever he wanted within that organization. And here's where Baxter Holmes did a good job. What he did is he took every incident that he found out about with agent Rich Paul, who is LeBron's agent, who was able to get a player who should have been suspended, get him back in. Him on the airplane, flying from the East Coast to the West Coast on the team plane. And what he did is he started calling other organizations, including Miami, to find out if this ever happened in Miami when LeBron was there and Rich Paul was there. And guess what? Never happened before. So the Lakers were doing something. They were placating these people. All right, because Magic didn't care. All they wanted to do is get LeBron out there.
Yeah, but don't judge him. Don't judge him for this. You can't judge him for this. And you're never going to have another opportunity. No. He'll never do it again.
Wait till LeBron churns on him.
He'll never do it again.
Wait till LeBron churns on him. When LeBron churns on him, good luck. Now, Magic apparently, according to the story, with many of the employees saying he was abusive to people, he would literally call them out and say, you're going to get fired if you don't do this right now. Really abusive.
Well, you'd have resumes on the desk, right, to let everybody know that I can replace any of you right now. There's people that want your job.
So yesterday he came on the air and said, oh, Jeannie wouldn't allow me to be abusive.
I've never sat in an HR person's office in 35 years. 2 years with the Lakers, no HR appearance. Jeannie Buss, do you think Jeannie Buss will allow me to abuse the employees? If that was the case, she would have called me in. Joe McCormick would have called me in, the lawyer for the Lakers, as well as Dan, the other lawyer. It never happened, right? I'm a person who brings everybody together, uplift the employees. I've never abused an employee, and I never will.
Here's why I find
I bring people together. People go, hey, when there's trouble, where's you? We go to Magic.
Why isn't my voice? Here's why I find this really ridiculous. My guess is that most of those employees, and according to Holmes, these are employees that have been there for decades. My guess is they adore and love Magic Johnson. So it would really take something for them to flip on Magic Johnson.
You would think.
Right. And yet he has a lot of them suddenly flipping, saying that the man was abusive.
I mean,
many of them.
I don't know, 12 different people within an organization, former trainers or trainers, current trainers, whatever it is, right? Different staff members, front office people. You're right. Like, no one's going to go on the record, right, about Magic. But to have people talk about Magic like that.
That's that amazing.
I don't think those stories are made up.
No, I don't either.
At all.
It's not like you're getting one or two people that are doing it. You're getting many people that are doing it. And where Magic made his mistake is he went on the offense yesterday. There are going to be more stories coming out.
Well, so if you are one of those, first of all, I would say like the employees who couldn't separate their childhood, memories of Magic as a fan and as a player, and now he's your boss, and now my childhood memories of Magic Johnson, he would never yell at me. He would never hold me accountable. To me, that's a bad mix in the first place. Now I'm running the organization. I'm not just Magic, the ex-player. I actually am in charge of the success of this organization. So I am going to treat people a little bit differently. But I don't think anyone was abused. To me, when I hear that, I'm like, okay, ease up, okay?
All right, one more on this one. Because Stephen A. is constantly talking about how we need the truth, right? We need people who are going to be willing to get out there and speak
the truth.
And
he's the arbiter of the truth.
And he's the arbiter of the truth. So ESPN.com puts out an extensive piece. And it's a, you guys both read it. It's a long-ass piece. And it's got details in there about stuff that happened. And what does Stephen A. do? He rips ESPN.com for putting this story together.
I'm not happy about it one bit. I got better things to do with my damn time. Better things to do. ESPN.com decides to come out with a story on the day that Magic and the crew are going to be here. Do I like the fact that I have to deal with it today? Hell no. Go check it out on ESPN.com. Obviously, it's very, very important. I mean, it's the first cover of ESPN.com. It's a big deal, right? Go ahead, look at it. ESPN.com. Let's make sure we mention that. It's right there. Let's make sure we mention that. ESPN.com.
He's lost
his mind. Read the story. Supposedly, people had anxiety. I mean, stop the presses. I mean, Magic Johnson was tyrannical as a boss. That's basically what picture they're trying to paint. Magic Johnson, what that smile that y'all see on television all over them, permeating the airways. Oh, my God. Stop the presses. Magic Johnson might have been a bit hardcore as a businessman. Stop the presses.
What is so? So
he's, so, you know what? He's as phony as Magic.
Oh my God, he's such a phony. It's not even funny. Because first off, it's perfect. If you really do an interview with Magic Johnson, isn't that perfect timing? You're in the business,
yeah. And it's
right? We're
going to
interview Alex
Gore.
All of a sudden, some amazing story breaks hours before we're going to have Alex Gore.
Yeah,
you think that helps the interview? Or think that hurts the interview?
I think it helps.
He's acting like he's pissed off that ESPN, and now he's just attacking the credibility of it
on a day that Magic.
Company,
and the crew
ESPN,
will be here.
Baxter Holmes' article, he is attacking the credibility. Like, he went out there and made it up. Like, all of these sources he had are just lying. He is such a phony.
Do he's I like the pocket. Fact that I...
He's Magic's caddy. That's what he is.
God.
He's
they
carrying his water, right?
But you're right,
Bill
though.
Vaughn, they're all doing the same thing.
There's more coming.
Oh, a lot more.
There's a lot more,
there's
and
lot
I
more.
Can't wait for it. Because then what are they going to do?
I've heard the stories over the last couple of years that Magic is never around, doesn't work. And this is from other people that are in
magic.
The NBA.
I think people actually thought he just uses magic.
Right.
No.
And so I hate to say it, but Rob Pelinka probably was in a situation where if you don't hear from Magic for 7 or 8 days, he's out of the country or whatever, you still have to run the organization and do stuff, right? There were scouts who were talking about how they went out and did all of this work on players, and then Magic would just decide on his own, now I'm going to select this guy totally off their board.
I've been DMing him for
right,
about a month
exactly,
now.
Exactly. Totally off
nut.
their draft board.
Nuts.
How ludicrous is that? All right, we got another hour to go. It's an early Red Sox game. Jack Edwards is going to join us in the final hour. Plus, we got to get to this whole Barstool controversy with the Bruins. This thing has been stewing the last couple of hours. Doesn't make an awful lot of sense to me, but we'll get to it as well. On OMF, we're doing it live down here at West and Johnny's on Portland Street. Great place to come if you're coming over to the Bruins game tonight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.